We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Cody and Gold here, 1 o'clock hour, number one on What's Trending. You heard it there from Serta. Bill Self suspending Silvio De Sousa indefinitely, pending the final outcome of the review by KU and the Big 12 Conference. Kansas got the 81-60 win over Kansas State in the Sunflower Showdown, but you had the block and Sousa standing over the K-State player, which sparked everything, caused his benches to clear and spill into the, well, I won't say the stands, but certainly in an area where fans are at. Very serious stuff there. We don't really know long-term the punishment for everyone yet. We just know that Sousa indefinitely, clearly he's going to have the most severe punishment of the group. But that's where things stand right here as of 1 o'clock after last night.
I don't think Self had much of a choice.
Oh,
I mean, it was just like, suspend him now, worry about it. Indefinitely means until we decide how long the punishment is.
It can mean,
is,
so. I mean, we've seen in the past, guys, I mean, remember Grayson Allen when he was back when he was tripping everybody? He was suspended indefinitely and he missed one game. Now, this is different, but still, it could be 3 games, it could be 10, or the season.
It's a mystery at this point. Number two, Derek Jeter, Larry Walker, both elected to the Baseball Hall of Fame. While I fully support Larry Walker and his SpongeBob jersey in there, Jeter barely missed out on 100% of the ballots, and while normally I am a Hall of Fame voters can suck it because they don't understand how it works, vote, out of hell with it. Jeter was pretty good, maybe even really good.
Pretty good.
But he was helped, buoyed constantly by the idea that he was surrounded by one of the best lineups in baseball, slash longevity works in his favor. Barry Bonds had more career war before 1999. When it's presumed he started cheating, before Derek Jeter had in his entire career. And if Barry Bonds can't even get in, and Ken Griffey Jr., maybe my favorite player of all time, can't get 100% of the vote, good. I'm glad Jeter doesn't. They're both in. He's fine. He's a Hall of Famer. Some part of me is just secretly happy that he didn't get 100%.
I did take joy, not for him personally. It was more the Yankee fan thing for me.
Yeah.
More than anything else. Like, they had Rivera unanimous last year. They were about to get back-to-back Yankees in unanimously. Would have been the first time we've seen that, of course, if we only had one. And I'm with you. If Griffey can't get 100%, that should make it almost nearly impossible for anybody to get 100%. Plus, let's not act like this hasn't happened in past history. Yes, Baseball Hall of Fame voters are ridiculous, but Joe DiMaggio got in with 88% of the vote back in 1955. But still, okay, he didn't get 100%.
Someone gave J.J. Putz a vote.
Do we know who this guy is, by the way?
I mean, I know who he is.
No, not J.J. Putz. The guy that didn't vote.
Oh.
Not J.J. Putz.
I know J.J. Putz.
The guy that didn't vote Jeter, though. That is, everybody should have to reveal their ballot. I
mean, Local hero.
Did Derek Jeter step on this dude's foot during media availability 15 years ago, and this guy's got a bad toe now? What happened?
I hope on top of it, he sends Derek Jeter a thank you basket. For those who get that joke.
The king of gift baskets.
Lance.
Well done. Number three on What's Trending, we stick with baseball. Alex Gordon signing a one-year deal worth reportedly $4 million. He'll be out at FanFest coming up this weekend, and we've got about 5 minutes away from giving away a four-pack, as a matter of fact, to FanFest out of Bartle Hall this Saturday, the 25th. Plus, Danny Duffy going to join us at 1:30. But Alex Gordon back with the Royals. We all know he's been with them throughout his entire career. The interesting note, though, Jeffrey Flanagan reporting that I guess he waived his 10-5 rule or clause, and so he could, doesn't mean he will, but they could trade him at some point, and if so, he would get a $500,000 assignment bonus.
Place your bets right now. Is Alex Gordon a Royal for the entire year? I vote yes.
Yes. The odds, I wonder what the odds would be on that.
Go take the other side, Serta? They haven't traded anybody lately.
No.
Yeah. Yes. More likely Merrifield gets traded.
Don't make me choose that. It's not the time for that conversation.
Okay. I don't think they're interested in wheeling and dealing.
Let's save that for June. Good to have Gordon back, though.
It is.
World Series hero. One of the greatest Royals of all time. Likeable dude. Oh. All the reasons why. Yeah. It's great he's back in KC.
No, Royals fans should be happy about that. And had his best offensive season since 2015 last year. That's what's trending here on Cody and Gold. I mentioned Danny Duffy about 25 minutes away. We'll get his thoughts on Alex Gordon being back with the club, and what's it like to be part of a championship team in this very city? So we're looking forward to having Danny Duffy join us here on the program. So back to the Chiefs, though. Kyle Brandt, Good Morning Football, talking about Patrick Mahomes, and brought up an interesting discussion. Are we there yet with this? That if Mahomes wins the Super Bowl on February the 2nd, that he becomes the face of American sports after one Super Bowl. Are we there? He's clearly the face of the NFL already. Nobody's debating that.
He's on the cover of Madden. He's the MVP, and he's going to the Super Bowl.
He is
so
the
probably
face of the National Football League, whether he wins the Super Bowl or not. If he wins the Super Bowl, though, is he the face across all sports in this country? That's what Kyle Brandt says will happen. The NFL is as big as it's ever been, but the NFL, while it continues to try to expand globally, having these games in London, having these games in Mexico City, and the NFL is as popular, you know, as it could possibly be, and we're seeing Mahomes number one in jersey sales and all that, and I think those jersey sales are just in North America, by the way. I don't believe that's worldwide. I could be wrong. I don't know the exact numbers on that. It is hard to imagine, though, when we know that the NFL compared to the NBA isn't as global. But at the same time, man, Patrick Mahomes, he's 24. He's likable. He's marketable. He's not just winning.
Memorable voice. That helps.
Potentially.
I'm making a joke, but having something memorable about you helps.
But he's also making these highlight plays. Like in today's day and age where everything is available on the internet, and highlights are so easily accessible, and quick 20-second videos, people's attention span is way less than it ever used to be, right? So I feel like all that makes it, if there was ever somebody that could be an NFL player and across the board face of American sports, he could be it. I just don't think, man, that one Super Bowl does it. One Super Bowl, does that put him over a LeBron, for example, as a face? That's my issue with it. It's not so much that he can't be in it because he's an NFL player. I think he's got everything to do that. I just don't know if you can do it just after one ring.
I don't think you can do it as an NFL player. Because Tom Brady has a pile of rings and is married to a supermodel and is handsome and is in a major market. And yet still, I don't think he was ever the face of American sports to people outside of the U.S. I think that was LeBron for the last 20 years. I think that the weight of which the sport can carry outside of this makes the difference. Because I think it was Michael Jordan internationally. I think it's been LeBron internationally. I don't think it's ever necessarily been an NFL player. Now, the NFL is more marketable than it's ever been, and you see their faces more than you used to. But at the same time, that part of it still plays. You're in a helmet. In the NBA, it's just you. You playing basketball all the time with the super athleticism and the highlight dunks,
yep,
and the international popularity of the sport. And that's not even a knock on Mahomes. I just honestly am not sure that you're capable of doing it. I just don't think you're capable of doing it unless you're an NBA player right now. And it's not baseball.
Well, definitely. That's why we're not even bringing up baseball.
Mike Trout is so good. It's a shame it's not him.
The NBA, I mean, look how big of a deal it was with this China stuff in the offseason with the Houston Rockets and everything and the contract, because that's a huge market for the NBA. It's global. I mean, Kobe Bryant and these guys, there's a reason why so many of them did not speak out very quickly, yes, about what went on there, because a majority of their shoe sales and everything happens over there. In the NFL, you don't have that same dynamic, but I just look at it, and I don't think it's after one Super Bowl for Mahomes. And you're right, the NBA players are always going to be more individualized than the NFL. No question. It's not as viewed as a team sport as much as the National Football League is. There's also, I think, because there's potential longevity between the two sports as well that comes to play.
True,
to
but
some
I don't know
extent.
That, like, Mahomes, a quarterback, is likely to be in the league as long as most guys, you know, if you say LeBron.
The difference, though, when you bring up Brady, and you're right, he's never, and he's got the big market, he's got the supermodel wife and everything like that. The difference for me is, and while the NBA is in a great spot with all these stars, LeBron James, I mean, he is on the back end of the career. We all agree with that, right?
There's an opening.
And so at some point, 5 years from now, I don't know, however much longer LeBron's going to play, at some point, who's the next guy that's got to step up in the NBA? Maybe you think it's Giannis or whoever, but by that point, Mahomes, again, this all, to me, stipulates on Mahomes not just having one ring.
But that's what Kyle Brandt suggested.
He's got to have multiple rings for it to happen. At that point, I don't think it's impossible. Again, we're talking about the face of American sports, because I see some people over on the Smitty's Garage Burgers and Beer text line 69306 saying, you know, Roger Federer and things like that. That's nobody. Globally, Tom Brady and LeBron aren't even. I mean,
Messi and Ronaldo.
Right.
And, yeah.
Those guys are at the top of the list. We're just talking about the face of American sports, which would then, I guess, make it global, but truly the face coming out of the United States.
The other options in the NBA are Steph Curry, who obviously has a lot of international appeal.
Mm-hmm.
Westbrook, Durant, Harden. You mentioned Giannis. I mean, you know, he's got international background, too, because he's from Greece. So I understand that some of those other names could come. I just feel like it's easier. I just think it's easier in the NBA to be that. And maybe it shouldn't be. Maybe it shouldn't be the most recognizable. Because the one thing that football's got going for it is a uniquely American sport. So if you're saying the face of American sports, choosing its most American sport feels like a pretty good way to start. And Patrick Mahomes. But the other part of that is, NBA players live like a different level of lifestyle that you see every day that you don't necessarily see from NFL players. Like, it's not to say they don't live that kind of lavish lifestyle, but NBA players, it's all part of the brand. They just designed the NBA trophy and put it in a Louis Vuitton suitcase or some nonsense. So you can't tell me that it's not like...
The Tiffany bag's not good enough for you when it comes to the Lamar Hunt trophy? That's not good enough?
And I'm not saying that 90% of the players in the Chiefs locker room don't have a Louis Vuitton bag, because they definitely
do.
I'm just saying that
it's the league, Cody. It's not so much them. It's the league. The NBA allows their players to be themselves far more than the NFL does. That's one of the... What's one of the main... There's a lot of issues. Main issue with the National Football League and the way the league approaches it.
Rating this year, by the way, Yahoo Finance, who put out the list before the season started, had Tom Brady as the most marketable. Patrick Mahomes is the second most marketable. Odell Beckham, Baker Mayfield, Saquon Barkley, Aaron Rodgers, J.J. Watt, just from an NFL perspective.
But just the drama, I think some of it is the drama that exists in the NBA. As far as attention, you gravitate more toward those guys because of it in the offseason. You don't see that as much with the NFL. And I'm talking about Antonio Brown drama right now, which is just nuts. I'm talking about drama around the league, entertainment drama. And, you know, you look at the way the league in the NFL versus the NBA, as little as small, it seems like small stuff, as little as the shoes, for example. Like the NBA players, whether it is jerseys and shoes, just the way they're able to be
branded
themselves and branded more so than those in the National Football League. The NFL thinks they're doing a favor to NFL players when they let them have those cleats for one game or two games.
Or they let them wear the fresh Prince of Bel-Air outfit going in, like Mecole Hardman, but for 2 seconds. I still think it can't be Mahomes. And not to say it's, obviously he's going to be the most marketable NFL player. He is now. Brady's old.
Wonder when LeBron's done. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, NBA players, it's their international reach. It's these guys, when the regular season in the NBA ends, a lot of them go over to China because they can make millions and millions of dollars in China. The NBA has TV deals with China. Like, they make a bunch of money over there. A lot of that stuff extends, and sometimes it's just as simple with the NFL. It's the helmet and the pads and all of that stuff. Like, all that stuff plays into it. And also, you know, there might be in London, there might be some people that are really into American football, but for the most part, none of them give a damn about it. So while Patrick Mahomes is one of the best athletes in the world right now, it's just going to be hard for him to be put on the world map the way LeBron is.
Who's the next player behind it? Let's say 5 years from now, who's the NBA player? Because Mahomes, we assume, at 28 years old,
and that's
hopefully he'll be a Super Bowl champion and still be a huge name. Like, let's presume that Mahomes' career trajectory stays where it's currently headed.
Right now, you have to assume it's somebody like Giannis, or because Zion's obviously, we don't know anything about him at this point.
I think your better bet is the youngest possible superstar you think is in the league now, like Luka Doncic. And again, that's the face of American sports. I know he's a foreign player in American sports.
I think it would be Zion, if Zion is what we think he is.
I guess we'll know here soon.
I think Giannis could become that if he leaves Milwaukee and does what LeBron does and just kind of
moves around.
That's the
other part. Does being in Kansas City hurt Mahomes? The NFL doesn't seem like it's stricken by market size.
I was
going to
say, this is not baseball.
But that's NFL-wise.
It's not baseball where it's so regionalized and things
that. But we're talking about
the NFL, though. I don't think it matters. The NFL does a good enough job in that route. Nobody views like, oh, that guy is not going to be on this great stage because he's with the Colts or he's with Kansas City. I don't think it's the same at all.
No. In the U.S., sure, you're right. But internationally, LeBron goes to like cool places in L.A. or New York. Or, you know, like, I think you have to have, like, if you're going to be the face of American sports, you got to be seen at cool stuff.
You don't think Mahomes, as time goes on, is going to be out in L.A. more?
I'm not saying he hasn't been at cool stuff. He's been at plenty of cool stuff. But Mahomes more likely is to be at the Texas Tech game right now. Or he's at a cool event in Kansas City, and we see that, and he goes out to events. But it's not as easy as being at, like, the biggest thing in L.A. This isn't even a not. Obviously, Mahomes is the best player in the NFL, and that's nice. And he's probably the most recognizable NFL player here. Pretty soon, Tom Brady's probably that guy at the moment. Pretty soon, will be the most recognizable player in the NFL. Also cool. And we know that Aaron Rodgers has a lot of national endorsements, so his name gets tossed around. But internationally, I think you have to have all of those. Like, if you're as Kyle Brandt put it, he's become the face of American sports. And this was Sarah Spain in a conversation between him, and she ran a poll, by the way. And the poll was around 3,000 votes, and it was 75 in favor of no. No, he would not become the face of American sports with one ring.
And that should be the answer right now. That should be the answer right now, because it's not just one ring. I mean, to me, we've got to fast forward 5 years from now, and he's got multiple rings for him to have the chance to compete. And the NBA has, you know, 80-plus games a season. So you're in, to your point about markets, you're in New York a couple times a year just right away. And there's more opportunities for people to see you, even though NFL ratings, like, there's just far more opportunities that exist. And you can play preseason basketball games in China. In the NFL, they're trying to expand. They're playing games in London and Mexico City, but they're not playing NFL games in China. Now, who's to say that down the road we don't see that? I don't know. I mean, way back when, they played preseason games over in Japan. Remember that?
I remember.
Things like that have happened. It is an uphill battle just because of the sport itself. It's not so much the athlete. It is the difference of the NFL to the NBA more than anything else. Let's give away that 4-pack of tickets to FanFest out at Barnhill Hall. That's this Saturday. That's what the 4-pack is for, but it's going on Friday and Saturday. Tickets on sale now at royals.com/FanFest. We'll take the ninth caller to 913-576-7610. 913-576-7610. Danny Duffy of the Royals is going to join us in about 12 minutes as well. Can't wait to have him join us on the program. He'll be out at FanFest this weekend. We'll get his thoughts on Alex Gordon signing a one-year deal with the Kansas City Royals. Good to have Gordo back with the club, and his thoughts on just being in a city.
He kind of remembers what it's like to win a championship in a city. And Kansas City is on the edge of that again. So that does seem like a good guy to ask about it.
So we're definitely looking forward to that. Mike Pinnell, though, is on the drive yesterday. He spent an hour in studio with those guys.
He's going to be the new face of the NFL, of American sports. He's great. He is great.
He's been a huge pickup. We know that for Kansas City throughout the season. And they talked a wide range of topics. Honestly, you should go back at some point and listen to the full hour, because it was great. They were talking about even the Aaron Hernandez Netflix documentary and conspiracy theories with CDOT. With Sean Levine and Mike Pinnell. So that was just a good conversation as a whole. But there were some things that stood out as well, just about his emotions after Kansas City won the AFC Championship game. And he explained why he got so emotional.
Looking up at Arrowhead, and it's just like, okay, you know, you hear all the significance of the history of what we've just done. You know, it's been 50 years since they've been to the Super Bowl. You know, last year they were in the championship game. You know, the people, the players, the owners, the coaches, everybody was that close last year, like just a little teaser. And like now this year was just like an over-sensing relief. It's just like, okay, we won that game. And I think that's where the tears came from. But I know that, you know, the celebration didn't last long. And, you know, a lot of them guys, majority of the guys were already on to San Francisco or at home watching the game. Because everybody's just really focused. It's just really really good to be a part of. It's really good to see, you know, the focus of professionalism.
He goes from being on the street, not on a roster, to now on a team headed to the Super Bowl. I mean, the emotions, I would imagine, as you heard him talk about there, have to be extremely high.
Well, and he's been a big part of it.
Yeah, it's not just somebody like sitting on the bench. He's played a significant role at times.
It has. And, you know, they got really close. He'd even mentioned about the fact that in this same interview, and if you want to hear it, obviously we recommend you go to the radio.com app and listen to it on the podcast page. But he talks even about like how the Packers were supposed to offer first and then didn't. And then he found himself with the Chiefs anyway. And look how different it is. But he's been a big part of, you know, the shift that we've seen. He's been a part of the shift we've seen in the defense overall. He even talked about maybe the transition he's seen from that group this season.
I really think it's just, you know, everybody not drinking the Kool-Aid, the outside stuff, talking about this or talking about that. Everybody just came in and made a collective decision, like, you know, let's make this push, you know, let's put in this work, you know. Now you see guys coming in early, now you see guys, you know. I mean, it was always like that, but now there's more guys, you know, staying late, coming in early, doing extra stuff with filming. Guys are actually just enjoying being around each other. We're always at each other's house. I mean, I'm sure the wives and girlfriends are mad because we always spend the time with each other right now.
Which doesn't happen with every team. I know that that might seem like give and take, but you could say the same thing about like every radio show. We don't always, you know, like everybody doesn't hang out with everybody, but it works a lot better when you do.
Oh, no question. I think that in any, whether it's a work relationship, professional relationship, whatever it may be, I think that absolutely can make sense. We'll find out here in about 8 days, too, when Cody and I spend 8 days together in an Airbnb.
We spent a lot of time together here coming up pretty soon.
We'll find out very soon. We're going to come back from that trip. We're going to know a lot more about each other, I think, by the end, and we'll have some fun with that on the show.
Take 4 days off when we get back.
Yeah, the parade, man. We got the parade right after.
That's fine. After everything ends. That's all. I like your optimism. Let's put it that way.
To be optimistic. By the way, congrats to Sarah out in Grandview. She won our 4-pack of tickets to Royals Fan Fest going on this Saturday. We'll have another opportunity for those tomorrow on the program as well. Lastly, from Pinnell yesterday on the drive, what would it mean to win a Super Bowl for Andy Reid? Last week we heard from Dave Tobe and Eric Bieniemy about this, and you're going to, I'm sure, next week hear from multiple players and analysts about Andy Reid and how much they want to see him get it done. But someone on this roster, here's what he had to say.
When I was about 8, 9 years old, I used to sit and watch, you know, the NFL Combine, NFL films, all the old videos. And I'll never forget watching, you know, the Philly days where he used to always give him days off and everything. See you Wednesday, that when they made that Super Bowl run. So it's just interesting to see, you know these people before you get there. I mean, everybody, you know, Andy Reid's been coaching longer than I think everybody's been on the roster or been alive, literally. So it's just, you know, be able to be a part of, you know, a Hall of Fame coach's Super Bowl win. I mean, that's forever. I mean, that got to give you goosebumps right there.
I think everyone feels the same about Andy. Universally loved. Obviously, anything you can do. And for his story, considering, you know, where his career has been, he's a fascinating piece of this defense and the kind of moves that Brett Veach is going to have to make a lot after they pay Mahomes $40 million a year. He's going to need these types of moves to buoy a roster. Pinnell gets a big chunk of, you know, he's a little piece of all of those pieces that kind of put together what this championship roster looks like.
Coming up next, your chance at $1,000 in our national cash contest. And Danny Duffy joins us next.
Cody and Gold, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending. The fix and flip guys at caseylend.com.
Back here on Cody and Gold, presented by Crossroads Investment Lending. The fix and flip guys at caseylend.com. Expected to have Royals pitcher Danny Duffy joining us within the next couple minutes to talk a little Royals Fan Fest. Also, what's it like to be in Kansas City going on a championship run? Of course, back in 2014, 2015 with the Royals. But first, it's your next chance in our national cash contest.
1,000 on the 30s. Text the code word MACHINE to 72881. Feels like they should have saved this for the drive.
Right.
That's MACHINE. MACHINE, and you could be a $1,000 cash winner in the national cash contest. So tell you, 610 Sports Radio, the only sports radio station in KC, giving you a chance. $8,000 every day. We already had a $1,000 winner. You can be a $1,000 winner for Cody and Gold as well. Just text MACHINE, MACHINE, to 72881.
News right before we hopped on the air today. Alex Gordon and the Royals agreeing to a one-year deal reportedly worth $4 million for this 2020 season. There were reports over the last week and a half or so that
it was coming.
This was coming, and most people thought that, okay, it's probably going to happen right before Fan Fest. Makes sense, right? Heading into Fan Fest or anything like that. So Alex Gordon with the Royals in 2020, and it does shift some things maybe, Cody, a little bit with how the long-term view could go with the organization in the outfield. And we'll get into that maybe in just a little bit. But let's go right out.
Just good to have him back.
Yeah, it's good to have Alex Gordon back in Kansas City. Let's go right out to the 610 Sports Hotline and bring on Danny Duffy right ahead of Fan Fest. Danny, thanks so much for hopping on with us, man.
Oh, of course, dude. Thanks for having me.
So how are things going? Let's start with the news that Alex Gordon's back with you guys here in 2020.
Yeah, man, it's great. I mean, the guys... That guy's our captain. That guy's our guy, man. And he works unbelievably hard. He sets an example for the young guys, and he's been, I mean, last year was unreal, man. It was really cool to kind of see him, you know, back. And this year is going to be great, too. So we're all excited in that clubhouse, and it's going to be great to see him again.
Danny, how sure were you that he was going to come back when the season ended? Or is this one of those, like, you were pretty sure and we were just waiting to find out? Or how long did it take for you to know?
You know what, dude? Like, in my heart of hearts, I was more than probably 60-40, like he said. I feel like you've got that competitive desire, that fire, and I just felt like it was going to happen.
Danny Duffy with us here on Cody and Gold on 610 Sports Radio. Royals Fan Fest starts this Friday and Saturday out at Bartle Hall. Tickets on sale now at royals.com/fanfest. This offseason for you, just how has it gone since the end of the season and now getting set? Before we know it, it'll be spring training.
Yeah, dude, it's been great. I'm out here doing my thing, having a good time with my family, and getting the body prepared, and it's been good, man. I'm ready to see you guys again. I'm ready to see my teammates, but I'm soaking up this last couple weeks.
Do it. Ned always talked about that, Danny. Don't worry about that. Ned always talked about that time feeling like it went by too quick there in the early going. Part of the reason we wanted to have you on, Danny, though, is that the Chiefs are kind of going on this run now and feel like they're at the doorstep, right? And I know that the World Series doesn't feel the same because it's like you just keep playing baseball games after baseball games until it comes to a culmination versus getting 2 weeks off. But as you kind of see the Chiefs go through a run like this, how much does it remind you of what you guys did in 2015, and what's kind of the feeling you remember around the city at that time?
I mean, it just felt like the whole city was painted blue, man. And now, you know, it's the same thing, just red. And everyone's so excited. I haven't been there, man. I've been kind of a ghost this offseason. But from what I've heard, it's been unreal. And, you know, it's super. It resembles what happened in 14 and 15 big time. And those guys got that city on fire, and rightfully so. They're an unreal team. And Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, they're just transcendent talent, man. And the rest of that squad, obviously, too. I'd be here forever if I named them all.
Now, I don't know if you've ever been to a Super Bowl before. If you haven't, have you thought about maybe making the trek down to Miami?
Nah, man. I'm going to quote my grandpa and say I'll watch it from the couch. It's going to be cool. Best seat in the house, dude. I'll be warm, you know, and sitting here in the California sun watching the boys do work. So I'm good with that.
I mean, it is in Miami, so you at least get the warmth part on that end. But
oh, that's right. Huh, I forgot about that. That's right. Well, shoot. Yeah, no, I think I'm still going to watch it from my couch, brother. That's good with me. And I'm going to – they'll feel my energy from 3,000 miles away, though.
Do you stay in contact with anybody? I know you've been around, obviously. You guys were in support. I even go back to, like, when 14, when so many of you guys were out there for that leading up to that Monday night game against the Patriots and then the reversal for that wild card game in 14. Have you stayed in contact with anybody, or is this one of those, like, oh, God, I better just leave them alone while they go through an incredibly stressful time and hope to have good things to talk about after?
Oh, with the Chiefs?
Yeah.
You talking about – dude, I've met Travis a couple times. He's an unbelievable guy. Other than that, dude, I met Sammy at an event in Kansas City. But other than that, I haven't really met any of those guys. And I mean, it's kind of a funny story, dude. I never thought I'd be like low key, kind of lightweight, starstruck by a 22-year-old dude. But Patrick came into the clubhouse last year. I was like, yo, dog, like this is the Derek Jeter of our generation, bro. And I don't even know what to say to the guy. So I was like, what's up, man? That was it. And it was really cool to meet him. But no, dude, I haven't kept in contact. It's not my place. They know that we're behind them, and that's what it's all about.
It's funny, like you say that almost like, is it just a different sport thing that changes it? Or do you still get that around other baseball players too, where you kind of geek out on who they are?
You know what, man? I've never been starstruck on the baseball field. That's the God's honest truth. It was cool to meet Mike Piazza at the World Series. That was my idol growing up, baseball-wise, outside of Kobe. But, you know, I don't know, man. I mean, Patrick, just what that dude's done and made waves in National Football League and truly all over the planet has been unbelievable, man. It's been impressive. He's put the city, you know, even further onto the map, and he's just a great dude, man. I mean, hear nothing but good things about the guy, and I'm really stoked that we share a parking lot with him.
Cody and Gold here on 610 Sports Radio, joined by Danny Duffy, ahead of Royals Fan Fest going on this Friday and Saturday out at Bartle Hall. Tickets on sale now at royals.com/fanfest. You were talking about 2014 and 2015, and as Cody alluded to, there's not this two-week break for the World Series like we have for the Super Bowl. But did you, during that run in both years, did you feel just added pressure knowing the city is behind you in some way, just wanting to so badly to bring a championship to Kansas City? Do you feel like that's something you experienced that maybe these guys as well are experiencing this go-around?
You know what, man? I can't call it. In terms of us, I don't feel like we felt that added pressure. Maybe the second time around, it was a little bit like if it could have possibly been more urgent to win, it was, just because we didn't want to feel the pain we felt the year before. But, you know, I can't call it with them. They seem confident, they seem ready, and they don't seem like they're playing with a whole lot of weight on their shoulders. They're just doing what they do and letting their talent take over and, you know, letting the hard work pay off. So I think, dude, honestly, I think they're in such a good place. It just looks like it. They look like they're right where they need to be mentally, and it's awesome to see.
Hey, the parade was kind of a mess for us on that end, Danny. I know you said you're planning on staying back in California in the warmth for that. Would you make your way out to a parade for something like that, or is that one of those things that is better watched on TV? I'm telling you, as a fan, it is way different than getting to be in that car.
Yeah, dude, I don't think I could be in that seat, man. I don't think I could be in that. I don't think I could do it, man. I'd probably not. It wouldn't be my ideal location to be in a group of thousands and thousands of people. I'd love to see the happiness and, you know, see all the smiles on everyone's faces firsthand, but I could watch that on the tube too, man. I'm gonna definitely bow out of that one.
I don't blame you. I do not blame you. It was a scene the last time when you guys did it. It was shoulder to shoulder. I don't feel like I could move for the better part of 3 hours.
I heard people were parking their car on the highway. Oh, yeah. Like that's unreal. That's just unreal. But that tells you how that city operates, man. It's behind the sports team big time. And, you know, we're lucky to be playing in that city, bro.
Danny, thanks so much for giving us some time today. And I guess we'll see you out there at FanFest this weekend.
Yeah, man. We'll see you tomorrow. Thanks for having me.
There you go. That's Danny Duffy of the Royals. Reminder, FanFest this Friday and Saturday out at Bartle Hall. Tickets on sale now at royals.com/fanfest. Great talking with him there ahead of the season.
Parades are obviously fun. But it was a zoo the last
time. He's right about the highway stuff. There were people ditching their cars on the highway.
People handled themselves well. They behaved. It was just crowded. It was just really, really crowded.
But that makes it fun.
Were you living in town then?
I was working in Topeka at the time. Okay. So, yeah.
So you came down for that.
I couldn't get out of town. I couldn't get back to Topeka till like 7:30, 8 o'clock that night. I mean, it took not only just the drive, but as you know, and everybody remembers, it was nearly impossible to get out of downtown. But that's what also makes some of those memories great, too. Like, those are experiences you can't replicate. Being at your first World Championship parade, things like that. You're right, though. Being in the cars there for the players, just a tad bit different experience as well. But how about him talking about Patrick Mahomes, how he even admitted.
Even he got starstruck?
Mahomes walking in the clubhouse, what do you say, last season or two seasons ago, and said he got a little starstruck. Doesn't for baseball players, but for, you know, other sports or whatever, it makes sense.
Didn't know what to say, so just said, "What's up, man?" Which is a great quote. Just like, I didn't know, so I just went that way. He remembers what that run was like.
Yeah.
And it's still good to hear that during that stretch, they didn't feel like they had any nerves or confidence issues, because honestly, I don't get that sense from this Chiefs team either. I do think there's something about playing through it another time. Doing it a second time takes a little heat off. Now, this isn't the Super Bowl the second time, and I know that. But I still think, like, Goliath was the Patriots. The Patriots who got Andy Reid the last time. The Patriots stood in the way of the AFC for a million times in a row. The Super Bowl is always, obviously, the crowning jewel of all of it. But it felt like, to me, more so than any NFC team could offer at that time. For the Chiefs, for most of the NFL, getting past the Patriots always was kind of that bugaboo for a while.
Yeah, and I think also so much of it, and you look at both teams, obviously different scenarios, but you had a strong leader in Ned Yost as your manager with playoff experience, and then you look at Andy Reid now and the experience that he has in the post. I think some of it, you look at the leadership that each of those organizations had at the time, too, in terms of not feeling that pressure. Like, when you look at it, if you're...
No, it was, you know, was it Patrick earlier today who was talking about Andy being even-keeled, cool, calm, collected?
Yeah, Mitchell Schwartz was asked about that as well. I think that team, no matter what scenario it is, in this case, Royals from 2014, 2015, and of course the Chiefs now in 2020, like you feed off of the mentality of your head coach as well. And the way, you know, teams replicate that, whether that's on the field, but also away from the field too. Just how your head coach, how your leaders act is something you can kind of replicate, and your team also builds off of going forward. And I think that's why this team is relaxed heading into next week and heading into the Super Bowl, even though it's going to be a weird week, as the guys were talking about today. You know, next week you try to have the most routine that you can, but it's going to be tough to some extent next week because of all the added media stuff, and you're not living in your same place. You're in a hotel for an entire week.
It's a bizarre week, but again, I would tell you that.
Could you imagine waiting 2 weeks for the biggest game of your life? Like, at least in baseball, you wait like 3 days and it's the World Series game one and you're good to go. Imagine waiting 2 weeks for the biggest game of your career. Like, as fans, you're going
to
start
baseball
feeling
is so
like
much
antsy.
Better. You didn't have to worry about it. You just keep playing games. Like, sometimes there might be, like, I think maximum you would get is about a week off if you had swept your series and the other team went seven. And, you know, like, if that had continued, I think you probably would have gone through about a week, not two. In the NFL, you're used to a week. I think the one benefit to the NFL is once a year, like, if you're in the NFL for 10 years, once a year you wait 2 weeks to play a football game. So it's not totally unheard of to wait 2 weeks to play a football game. And if you miss one game because of injury, how long do you wait? 2 weeks. It's not as uncommon to have to go that long in between games versus like baseball, which is really a timing sport.
But 2 weeks for the biggest game. You're right.
I know,
you get the
biggest
week,
game.
But it's literally the biggest game you could possibly play in your career. And for most of the time, now hopefully down the road you'll say it's not the first time.
No other sport replicates that because unless it's a game seven, you would never, ever, ever have to wait that long. And game one of the NBA Finals and game one of the World Series are not the Super Bowl. Those are the only ones you'd even have to wait a week for. So it's an impossible thing to replicate. I do think that teams often adopt the personality of their strongest personalities. And in this case, their strongest personalities are Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. And on that World Series team, you would say Ned Yost at the top of that. But it was Alex Gordon and Eric Hosmer and Duff. Like, it was in Cueto. It was the cool, calm, collected group. It wasn't the fire guys. It's not to say Gomes didn't give a great speech at the end. It's not to say they didn't have those type of guys, right? Even in 14 with Yordano, you know, it's not to say they didn't have those types of guys that had fire and everything that kind of came in there in 14 and 15 and all those things. But the adopted personality of both of the Chiefs and Royals team, which is a comparison that's nice to make occasionally because you want two championships, is they both have leaders who seemingly are very even keel.
And some of the parallels with the cities people have brought up time and time again, whether it was going through Houston, I know different years, but going through Houston now,
Joe Buck
the
calling
Chiefs
a game in.
Are going up against a team from San Francisco and the Bay Area.
Weird.
So some of that kind of going together as well. And in the Niners, as they head into this game, people view them as one of the top defenses in football. In fact, they were ranked second, were they not? And Dan Orlovsky was on Get Up the other day, and there was the whole crew there, Greeny and everybody, and they were going through talking about the top two ranked defenses. And over the history of the Super Bowl, this stat is mind-boggling, but I think you also need to read into it a little bit more. A top two ranked defense has played in the Super Bowl 20 times. In the 20 games, those defenses are 15-5. So 20 games is not a small sample size, but 15-5, if you have a top two defense in the Super Bowl, you're 15-5. But the weird part about it is they only give up, I shouldn't say weird, but the reason why I kind of look at this, I'm like, is this going to apply this go around? They average giving up just 18 points. I don't see either team scoring 18 or less this go around, whether it's the top two scoring defense in San Francisco or it's the Chiefs defense that people feel very good about heading in to the Super Bowl based off of what they've done the last two. But 18 points, like, that's a big reason why the stat, while it's startling to see 15-5 and maybe makes you nervous as a Chiefs fan.
It only makes you feel good because 18 and you don't think the Chiefs are being held to 18.
You know, the Chiefs, I mean, why on earth should I think, you know, why on earth should anybody think that the Chiefs are being held to 18 points or less? I don't care anybody in the National Football League, top two defense in this scenario. No, there's no reason to believe that that's what's going to happen, especially after watching the last two games and putting up 51 just two games ago.
They put up 24 against the number one ranking in this similar, right, against the number one ranked defense, by the way, the only team above them. Was obviously the Patriots, who had the top-ranked defense for much of this season, partially because of opponent. I won't deny that being a factor in there. But if you go over the course of 16 seasons and have the number one ranked defense, I don't think that is to be ignored. So that does play a factor in this.
Sure.
But the 18, it scares me a little because it proves often, more often than not, that a top-ranked defense that finds its way into the Super Bowl. Because as defense wins championship stuff, that's probably where that narrative comes from. Top-ranked defenses don't make the Super Bowl all the time because they don't have the offensive strength to actually carry that. The fascinating part on the flip side that we mentioned earlier, and you should know about this, is despite the fact the 49ers are the number two ranked defense this season, the Chiefs, over the course of this season, have allowed less points than the 49ers, 308 to 310, which is wild to me. And I would admit, on the flip side, that the 49ers have scored more points.
She's almost just as wild.
It is. I think that number's probably a little bit closer if Mahomes plays in...
Well, he missed two games. Packers and
Vikings. Yeah, I think we just determined maybe it'd be about 10 points different because they scored about 26 points in those games per game. So you wouldn't necessarily think that it would be a massive difference beyond it. But at least 10, if not more points total, would have covered that difference. And obviously the 49ers were in a massive shootout where their 310 total points gets shot way up because of 46 that were scored by the Saints alone. But I dug further into their schedule. They just let up more points against good teams. The Chiefs are a good team. They didn't score 18 points a game against good teams. Good teams scored 26 points a game for them in the second half of the season. So it's not that you can just ignore that stat, but I was fascinated by the fact that both defenses are 15-5, although I was surprised in the cut that we played earlier, they seemed surprised that it wasn't higher that the number two ranked defense would do that well. But having a good defense does not mean you have a good offense. Normally, if you have a number two ranked defense, you don't always find yourself in the Super Bowl. You still have to have something that carries you.
Yeah, those on set thought maybe it should be, you know, they thought it would be something like 17-3 or 18-2, for example, the record. But it's also interesting, out of those five losses, though, it's to who? A couple Hall of Famers. Now, there's different eras and the way the game is played now, but Brady, Rodgers, Bradshaw, Plunkett, and Theismann, three Hall of Famers were part of the five times that the top two ranked defense did not win. That's who they were going up against. That is very relevant in this conversation. Now, Bradshaw, Plunkett, and Theismann, clearly different eras of the way the game is played today. Naturally, we know there's way more scoring in today's NFL than there was then. But the fact that out of the five, when there were Hall of Famers, and of course, Mahomes is only in year two, but most people are coming around, I would say, that you're watching Mahomes play, and he is certainly on a track to be in that company at some point in time down the road, right, with some of the all-time greats in the game, if he stays healthy and all that. So that some of those, and I don't know how early, and I would have to look, how early in the career did it, out of those five wins for those Brady, Rodgers, Bradshaw, Plunkett, Theismann, how early in their career did those take place? Was it, you know, because Mahomes is trying to do it in his first Super Bowl appearance, and he's trying to do it in his second year, overcoming a top two defense. Was it, you know, how early in the career was it for guys like Bradshaw, Plunkett, and even Brady and Rodgers that they overcame
those guys
a top
were
two
later
defense?
In their career.
So that's the only difference. That I mean, I'm more confident because I see that group of quarterbacks and I view Mahomes potentially one day being there. But at the same time,
he's already in the conversation with Plunkett and Theismann,
sure,
who just had great runs. They were not Hall of Fame quarterbacks, but they had great runs. Mahomes already having a great run. He's in the middle of a 2-year run, unlike anything anyone has seen. So he's already in their conversation. Because if you're not going to be a great quarterback, you just need to be one of the hottest or best quarterbacks in the league at that time. Mahomes will always be that. I don't think he's getting held to 18. That's lunacy. But the fact that the defensive team ends up winning that more often than not is fascinating, but it can't be ignored that the Chiefs have allowed less points. Because that's weird. That's not what I was anticipating.
Not at all. I mean, if you were to ask a bunch of people, they wouldn't have thought that that was possible. I do think you can go and look, whether it was the Mahomes game on their side, the two games he missed. I could also look on the Niners side and say, well, they played the Saints and gave up 46. They scored 48 in that game. That's a huge swing, an absolute shootout.
This is a 16-game sample, which is why the numbers hold pretty true. I could break down why I thought the Niners should have given up less points or scored more, or the Chiefs should have scored more, given up more, given up less. But in a 16-game sample, I don't know that I can do much better than that.
No, I mean, yesterday, though, we were going through the front end of the schedule for the Niners. I think you were rolling in through the eight, and we were saying how easy of a road they had in the first eight and how it got tougher on the back eight, and that's why they were 5-3 and all that. I mean, we kind of made that case a little bit when we were looking at the schedule and how much we can take away from losses or take from losses that the Niners had. And so some of those numbers, I mean, if you're looking at strength of schedule and all that, they played in a much tougher division. Nobody's debating that. The NFC West,
they still had a relatively soft schedule.
That's what was weird. The schedule overall wasn't out of division. Now, their in-division schedule way tougher when you have the Seattle Seahawks and you had a Rams team and a Cardinals team who was very competitive at times this year.
But still, a five-win team.
Outside of it, they played the NFC. They played the Bucs, and they had games against the Cincinnati Bengals this year. They played a Steelers team, which, by the way, we went back.
Mason Rudolph.
That win against the Steelers, was not with Big Ben. That was against Mason Rudolph as well, and then they played the Browns, who turned out to be a major disappointment, and they had a Redskins team as well on the schedule. I mean, so they had an easier schedule. If you're I guess I'm just trying to feel better, Cody. I'm trying to just feel better, talk myself into more confidence heading into the Super Bowl or anything else.
Yeah, feel good about it the best you can, because the nerves will slowly creep in over the next 10 days. Wait till you land in Miami, then see how well you feel at that point. Nervous?
Just a bit.
The final word.
I'm going to take the final word for the second time this week. Maybe it's selfish, but one last time to tell Derek Jeter to suck it. Honestly, I'm not that mad at Jeter. Jeter is a Hall of Famer. My only point is, the only reaction I give to this is that if they're going to hold down, if baseball writers are going to be jerks and not vote people 100% of the time, they deserve to be in up to this point in their career. Doesn't matter who they are. Doesn't matter if it's Babe Ruth. Doesn't matter if it's Ken Griffey Jr. It doesn't matter if you're Nolan Ryan. It does not matter how good you've been. No one has got 100% of the vote. Then why the hell start with Derek Jeter? Just because he's nice? Because he was nice? Derek Jeter had a career war around 80. All right, fine. That's about the same as a lot of the other guys that you would expect getting in that, like Larry Walker. We don't celebrate him the same way. You know why? Because Jeter got to play on some of the greatest lineups of all time. He only led the league in hits twice. Whit Merrifield's done that. Ridley's never led in any other statistical category during any other section of his career. If he was a career Baltimore Oriole, he's probably in the Hall of Very Good.
Absolute
he was good. He was
hater.
Really good. Maybe borderline, but not. He's not one of the greatest Hall of Famers of all time. And if he's not the greatest Hall of Famer of all time, then get me off the 100% list.
Mariano Rivera, of course, the only to get 100% of the votes. That's going to do it for us today here on Cody and Gold. The Drive is up next.
Cody and Gold, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.